Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, Radio Family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord for this time we're able to share, and I welcome you and pray that you are blessed and enjoying the goodness of the Lord. This week I've been sharing a message I've entitled Able Ministers of God. And we've been looking at what has been throughout the centuries a distinction that is not really, I believe, been of the Lord, a distinction between clergy and laity. And that somehow, speaking in terms of the full gospel circle that we move in, that somehow if you are a minister, you have been set aside and you're in a special category with the Lord. And basically, if you're just a Christian, well, and as I said, I was in a conversation recently where a dear brother was expressing this, that somehow if you're just a Christian, you've got a second-rate calling, and that somehow you're kind of like a second-rate person. And I'm trying to destroy through the Word of God that is something we don't talk about much, but it's just a feeling deep within that somehow we're inferior and not as important or loved by the Lord because of that particular public ministry. And as we saw what occurred in the book of Acts as it's recorded, when the deacons were set aside to basically fulfill the menial tasks, waiting on tables, right? Men of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit and full of wisdom. What happened is that God really used them to bring miracles, that revivals, for example, with Philip. He preached a revival in Samaria. The whole city began to rejoice. And God wants His people, every single believer, to know and understand how important they are to Him, and that they have a place and a part to in the body of Christ to fulfill a particular ministry and calling. We are all able ministers of the gospel of reconciliation. It was Philip who first preached the gospel to an Ethiopian, and who was probably the founder of the Ethiopian church, the Coptic church. And Philip also, if you will, because it's mentioned in the book of Acts, he may have founded the ministry of women because he had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. And so it was this lay group who was scattered under the persecution that occurred after the martyrdom of Stephen that went as far as Antioch. They went everywhere preaching the Lord Jesus. The word says, and the strong hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number that believed turned unto the Lord. And it was out of Antioch, that church, if you remember, that was founded by these laymen, that Paul and Barnabas went on their great missionary journeys to Asia and Europe. Paul, he belonged to that lay group, if you will. He was sent forth by them and with hands laid on, and he was representing them. And that became, if you understand your Christian history, the church at Antioch was the center of the Christian thrust into that non-Christian world. The Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles, but actually, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because you don't hear much about the apostles after that lay group began to move in the power of God. The apostles, of course, still held an authority and a position, but basically it was the, if you will, that lay group, just the ordinary believers that were doing the menial tasks, if you will, of the ministry. They had the initiative and they had the power. God was plainly lending His grace and power to those who made the spiritual realm and the material realms one. And I believe that's what Jesus demonstrated in His ministry. He was very much a man, and he was very much the divine only begotten Son of God. In his incarnation, we see a beautiful expression of the physical and the material and the spiritual joined as one. Now, we see that everyone who's a believer is one of the chosen. They've been ordained by that very choice. In Christ, Jesus said, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. The ministry, as Dr. Kramer points out, is really a servantship. The real name was diakonos, or that word dia, D-I-A, which means through, and konos, K-O-N-O-S, is the dust. And that's the figure of a camel driver who goes through the dust leading the camel while someone else sits on it. Jesus had just pointed out, according to Mavet, that there were three names that he could not trust with his disciples. He says, don't be called fathers. The fathers were those who, by reason of age, were to be looked up to and obeyed. Be ye not called teachers. The teachers were those who knew, and the rest were to listen and obey. Be ye not called leaders. The leaders were at the head of the procession. The rest were followers. And if you think about it, all of these three names represent attitudes, and all three names and attitudes represent self-assertion. And actually, Jesus was saying names and attitudes were to be renounced. There was only one name he could trust them with, and that is that of a servant or a deacon, a diakonos, someone who is leading a camel while someone else is sitting on it. This attitude of servantship, if you will, was a losing of self in the will of another. It's an attitude of self-surrender. And you know, there is a place for those who really want to excel, who want to be great in Christianity. Absolutely. Jesus was very clear. He would be great. Let him be the servant of all. He who would be first, let him be the slave of all. Great is to be the servant, and first is to be the slave. A deeper self-giving and surrender brings a higher rising in the Lord's estimation. The greatest of all, of course, is the Son of Man, who gives his life a ransom for many. So this greatness, beloved, is open to everyone, minister and layman alike. And for it's in the greatness of service and not in position or calling, if you will, or occupation. We are called to be servants, and our greatness depends on the degree in which we are willing to be able to humble ourselves. And if we do, the Lord says we will be exalted. And so as we look at that passage of scripture that Paul clearly outlines in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, verses 11 through 12, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The Revised Standard Version reads, for the equipment of the saints, comma, for the work of the ministry, for the work of ministry, not the ministry, which is a separate or specially ordained group, but for the, quote, work of ministry, the diakonia, the work of servantship. And so with a comma gone, basically the whole passage reads, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of servantship. The saints, who are the body of believers, become those who manifest servantship. The whole body of believers become ministers, if you will, or servants in this sense. All Christians are diakonia, ministers called to a ministry. Now, some, in fact, are truly called to a public or preaching ministry, but all are called. You, brother and sister who are listening, if you're a born-again believer, you're all called to the ministry. You're all called to servantship. And so, beloved, this sense of the layman being the chosen people of God puts a beautiful sense of dignity and a sense of calling and mission into the ordinary occupations of life. The ordinary becomes extraordinary, for if you believe it and think of it, it has extraordinary destiny in it. I heard recently that two elderly sisters praying for revival, they actually birthed the revival in the Hebrides. Beloved, every one of us, if we will, and that's what I want to encourage and inspire you with, that you can rise to levels that you never realized, because God wants you to know that in Christ, in Jesus, you can do all things. And in there's a sense of royal dignity. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and you need to know and meditate and think about what I'm sharing this week, that you are important in the scheme of things. The trivial becomes tremendous, if you will. In the menial, there is ministry. The merchant can now handle his books, his ledgers, with the same sense of sacredness as a preacher handles the Bible. Why? Because we have been chosen. We have a sense of commission. You've not chosen me, but I have ordained you, chosen you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Praise God. Well, with the Lord's help, we perhaps can conclude on tomorrow's broadcast, but I would like to share just a portion of a prophetic word that my associate has put together. We're making it available to the radio audience. If you'd request devotional meditations, we'll be happy to put it in the mail to you. Beloved child, my love is a lavish love. There is no end or limit to it. No man can say he loves God and hates his brother, for he bears the image of God no matter how far he has fallen. How shall I reach the hurting, the wounded, the lonely, if not through my people, my body in the earth? My love has already been shed abroad in your heart. As you have received, so freely give. As you truly hear the words of my heart to your heart, more shall be given you. There will be no lack, and there will be no failure, for my love never fails, says the Lord. Praise God. It's just been a joy to minister to you. I wish I had an hour, but we must bring this broadcast to a close. Remember to request that free devotional booklet, Devotional Meditations. We'll be happy to put it in the mail to you. Be sure you share your mailing address if you email. I love you. Thank God for you. Pray for you every day. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.